This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'd always do stupid stuff on the back end. Remember, was it Leandro Gonzalez-Perez?
It was.
If he wasn't fighting with somebody, he would take some wild run at somebody, miss him, and a guy would have a breakaway on Brad. Like, no! But yeah, they've given up some really dumb turnovers, but yeah, we've got the front end, the guys, for that guys who don't follow soccer. Basically, Miggy and everybody's coming together. It's looking good. Latte Loth has been money well spent.
No doubt. Jason Longshore here in about 15 minutes. Some guy talk on the way. Also, more from Arthur Blank, who was at the NFL meetings, the annual meetings today, and discussed his conversation with Kirk Cousins. Mark Raimondi is going to join us.
I took notes from
Florida as well, as he was down there. Yeah, I mean, what's that about, by the way?
I want to remember what this idiot told me so okay. I can throw it at him later. Arthur Ray was on the phone with him for an hour. But how long does that phone conversation have to take?
That's a long time.
I mean, I just don't know how.
Let me tell you what it would have been for me, Mike. I want out. That's it.
You told me you weren't going to draft a quarterback.
That's it.
And you drafted Penix. No, if I'm Arthur, I'm like, I know you want to go to a team where you're going to be a starter. I wanted you to play 16 weeks for us at 17. You told everyone you were healthy, and then you tell everyone you weren't healthy. So what is it? Maybe they didn't go down that road.
The commissioner, as we speak, is talking now, Mike.
Now you know how I feel about him.
I know.
I don't like him.
Yeah. Goodell's talking at the annual league meeting, so we'll see what he has to say. Look, I'm sure he's going to be talking about rule changes and there's more TV deals.
You mentioned it. I said they tabled it. They tabled it only for a few months. I mentioned, I thought it was over. No, they're going to come back in May and look at the tush push. And a lot of teams just are anti-tush push. I don't know. Am I barking up the wrong tree here? I just feel like if somebody uses some ingenuity and builds a better mousetrap, I like to say, and they come up with a plan, and in a copycat league, I'm just so confused when short yardage is so hard to get for teams like us that other teams just don't adapt their own version of it.
Well, look, I think if they outlaw it, eventually what's going to happen is there'll be another version of it. Meaning, okay, you don't want the quarterback, we're going to put our guard under center.
Right.
Or our other tackle under center. Seriously. Right. And we're going to be able to do this in
a quarterback sneak.
Yes. And so I just think there'll be another version of it. But either way, we'll see where the league goes on this. That is still yet to be determined. Right now, let's talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
He's not even my son, and I don't appreciate it. Drew Bobo is going to be, I believe, the starting center for the University of Georgia football team this year. Yes, the name sounds familiar because that's his son. We're talking about Mike Bobo.
Right.
And when people immediately go there, oh, can he play? I don't know if he's that good. He's good. Playing offensive center, guys, is one of the most demanding positions, especially at Georgia. And those offensive linemen, they do work. Now, you think for any second that Kirby Smart and Mike Bobo are not going to make sure that his son, Drew, earns the position, you're crazy. Because they already know that this is what people would be thinking. But, Mike, it's out there, and people are talking about it. And, it's one of these things where, oh, well, he must be playing center because his dad's the OC. Come on.
Believe me, if there's one thing that Kirby is not going to do, they're not going to put anybody out there who isn't the best of the best of the best.
Sir.
So, yeah, I mean, Bobo's kid has come on, and he's apparently, maybe he wasn't a 5-star, a 4-star, even a 1-star, but apparently he's doing the job. Now, if you want to be as a Weisenheimer and say, is this just how sad the state of affairs is with Georgia's offensive line?
Okay.
That a guy that wasn't highly recruited is now emerging as the starter, that's a different conversation.
I agree with you. And then that gets back to the guy that you've been holding his feet to the fire.
Stacey Searles.
And if he doesn't, this line doesn't do a better job this year as a whole, not just Drew Bobo, but as a whole, then we gotta really look closely at this and make some changes. Right. I think you're right about that. A few years back when they were winning national championships, you had the best line in the country because you had the best recruits. But it doesn't mean that guys can't develop. And so as we talk about what's going on with the Dogs and spring ball and all of this, this is one of the storylines that has come out. And, you know, he's trying to make Drew Bobo, trying to make his own impact at UGA. And you know, he's trying to do it out of the spotlight of the family ties. Mike, that's hard. But he's not a quarterback. So it's going to be easier right. than if he was a quarterback. Because obviously the spotlight would be on him. His dad played that position. It's different as a center, Mike, and he's just kind of in the mix. How often do we talk about the center, guard, center this last season?
Right.
Very rarely. And yeah. and I'm hoping that we don't have to this year, and I hope they run the ball a lot better.
Now, again, you can be that five-star guy and see it through, or sometimes, as we said, Pollock was a three-star. I mean, or in some cases, wasn't even that high. Cedric Von Prender was high. There was hypes about him, and he yep. was really that good. I mean, they've had some big dogs. But this offensive line, this goes back to the depth issue in the trenches, which I'm always hyping and harping on, because to me, that's going to be the difference between Kirby getting back to a natty and just kind of being in this top 15 that they're in, where everybody is kind of in the same boat, where the margin for error is just so slim now because you don't have the ability to have everybody locked up on your D-line like they had in years past.
So that's going on. But what else is going on as we approach the draft is Shador Sanders is going to have his pro day coming up. I believe it's this week, at the end of the week, I believe. And bottom line, Mike, is narrative matters. And I'm not sure where the narrative is coming from, but people I'm talking to now all of a sudden say, and I'm talking about people around the league and mm-hmm. that, you know, there's Cam Ward and then there's a group of guys. And I'm like, okay, well, who's the group of guys? And the group of guys consists of Jalen Milroe and Jackson Dart and, right. oh, well, Shador's in there as well. What happened between the end of the season where he was one of the best college quarterbacks and arguably the first or second quarterback to be taken in this draft to now all of a sudden it is, well, we're not sure, and it's multiple teams now, we're not sure. And I'm just saying, where is all of this coming from, and what has happened? Because narrative matters. And when you start to push these things, Mike, you know how these drafts play out. Well, they're going to stay away from him. Oh, they don't think he's going to be that good. Oh, they don't trust his arm. And all of a sudden now, you see guys slip and fall. And all I'm saying is, I thought Shador Sanders showed enough that he should be the first or second quarterback taken off the board. It doesn't mean that I don't think Jalen Milroe can be a good quarterback, but I don't think he is where Shador is right now. He's a project, Mike. Jackson Dart impressed scouts, right. there's no doubt. There are guys who had really good pro days. You know, we can talk about, Ohio State's quarterback. There's a lot
Will
of
Johnson.
Will
yeah.
Johnson. Or not Will Johnson. Will Howard, thank you.
Sorry.
There are a lot of guys in this draft that are, you can say, hey, if we draft them later in the draft, we don't have to take a chance on them. And now Shador is kind of being lumped with these guys where you go, well, I don't know if he'll be at the top of the draft. What happened?
Yeah, to me, this is just, I don't know if this is teams that want him to fall outside of the top three or four that are putting this stuff out there. Look, and this is something you and I always joke around about. Who are these guys that buy into this misinformation that are, you know, that have jobs as general managers and personnel guys in the league? You scout the guy, you do your own stuff, you go to his pro day, you go to his workout, you watch the tape. How are you swayed by some nonsense that Todd McShay says, right? Or Matt Hasselbeck goes on TV and compares Shador Sanders to Andy Dalton as his comp, you know? And look, I did not, you know, think that Shador Sanders was better than Cam Ward. I think Cam Ward is a more polished passer. And I think that Shador Sanders, what I've saw and what I've seen in the subsequent build-up to the draft,
right.
the mechanics, and that's what they say, for instance, NFL Network, there's a lot of thing on his weaknesses basically about his mechanics and the windup and his footwork. But those are things that are generally correctable
haven't
by
we
quarterbacks coach. But you've heard that about everybody.
Haven't we heard this before, though, with mechanics?
Right.
Like, really, I'm being serious now. Oh, we don't like his throwing motion. You know how many drafts I've covered? We don't like his throwing motion. Oh, his arm and his release point. I mean, give me a break.
I'm just saying, here's spacing and clearly defined route combinations make decision-making easier. Drops beyond proper pocket depth, and into edge rush path. In other words, he keeps drifting back in the pocket. You can fix that. Throws with longer operation time. That's one thing we've said he holds on to.
That's
too
true.
Long.
That's true.
Inconsistent bringing his lower half through his delivery. That's something we've seen Cam Newton deal with. Remember, Cam could never make the easy throws down low. The high percentage dump off throws, he'd be a little inaccurate, but then he could make the 55-yard, you know, bomb on right on point. I don't know where this comes from, but all of a sudden, it was clearly Cam Ward, as you said, and it was Shador Sanders, and now Shedeur Sanders has drifted into Quinn Ewers, Jackson Dart, yes. Jalen Milroe, you know, Howard territory. It's weird.
Yeah, it is. I only bring it up to say, again, is this just a bluff?